the question that often comes up from students is, what do you mean when you say dynasty?
Right.
What do you mean when you say dynasty?
See, the king, stay the king, all right? So how do you get to be the king?
Y'all don't know how to play chess, do you?
So
nothing, man. Look, I'll teach y'all if y'all want to learn.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Wire Show. I am your host, Draft Genius. As always, I'm here with my guy, Mr. Rob Rose, a.k.a. at eSarber1 on Twitter. We have a great show for you today. One thing I want to just dish out to everybody listening, because you know how I do this. I kind of do a little rant or something that's on my mind. What's on my mind right now is the idiots out there who are in a draft with me. And they draft somebody that I'm talking about in order to try to trade them to me. That's not how it works. I fall out my chair or just can't catch my breath because I'm laughing so hard whenever y'all try to do that. You can't try to play me like that. I mean, I'm the game. That's me. I'm the guy. If you draft somebody who you don't like with the intention of trading them to someone in your league, and the person that you're going to trade him to already knows what you're doing, well, your plan has failed. That's all I can say. Your plan has failed. Another thing is, if you listen to the show and you're in a listener league, and you come to me and you say, hey, I want to trade you Tariq Cohen for, Miles Sanders. Let's just put that example out there. And you know my view on Tariq Cohen, that there will be a little bit of regression, and I'm not really trusting the Bears' backfield right now. And you say, yeah, he'll have a little bit of regression, and I can't really trust the Bears' backfield, but then you try to convince me why I should trust the Bears' backfield, you were doing it wrong. You have to listen to the shows. You got to listen to the past shows where we talked about trade strategies. You have to be better. We have to be better owners, be better fantasy football people, whatever, in order to make our leagues better. Lead by example. Do what's right. That's my rant for tonight. See, I even rhyme sometimes. I'm a nice guy. What's up, Rob? How you doing?
What's going on, man? I'm anxious Lou waiting my Franks and Beans, as a matter of fact.
Frank and Beans, man. I haven't had that since I was probably 10 or 11. I used to eat that as a little kid, and I don't eat much beans unless they're green, you know? I'm not a big baked beans guy or barbecue beans guy. What's your favorite barbecue food?
Brisket, man. I make a mean smoked brisket.
Oh, I shouldn't have asked that. I regret it already. I love brisket. It's my favorite meat, I think, that I can think of. So anyways, getting back on topic, now that you got me all hungry, I'm probably going to rush through the show and go find some brisket somewheres. We got a guy by the name of Michael Rischner coming on the show. I've been trying to get him on the show. He is a great, great follow on Twitter at FF_Rish. That's FF_RISH. He is Mr. Michael Rischner, the host of the Fantasy Football Astronauts, with a great cast of people that hosted with him as well. And he's a huge Bears fan, which I have no quarrel with any Bears fans or any Packers fans or anybody on that side of the NFC until they play the Saints. That's whenever we start throwing blows. And I can tell you, Saints over Bears. What's up, Michael?
How's it going, man?
Hey, I have to bring you in on that, man. It's nice being a Saints fan right now. So
oh, yeah,
I have to throw my shots where I can.
You got a luxury life right there.
Oh, dude, just 3 more years while Breeze is still our quarterback, and then who knows? Maybe we'll draft Jake Fromm from Georgia next year, and the cycle will keep going because they're basically the same quarterback.
Yeah,
Breeze being the greatest of all time. But Oh, well. So I'm going to start off with this. What do you think of a guy by the name of Kareth White Jr.?
Well, first of all, you know I love him because he's on the Bears. But, I mean, he's an electric player. He's a super, super fast guy. And he was kind of a sleeper before the NFL draft. Only if you really knew college football did you know who he was. I think he's a little bit more of a gadget player on the Bears, kind of a special teams guy. He doesn't seem to me like he's going to have a huge role on the offense. So I'm more excited about him for the Bears as an NFL team than I am necessarily as a fantasy asset. But yeah, that's what I think about Curry.
Right. He'll probably be the third running back on that depth chart. Mm-hmm. You know, at best, he could end up being the fourth guy. But I do think he can have a good role on special teams. He ran like a 4.4-something 40-yard dash, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty, pretty fast guy. He played behind Devin Singletary at FAU. I mean, they obviously liked him enough to snag him in the seventh round instead of letting him go to UDFA status. So somebody else that they got who is a lot more popular than Mr. White and a lot more controversial is Sir Riley Ridley. I've been coming across a lot of talk on Twitter, not so much recently, but kind of right after the draft, and people were saying, you know, they had all the Riley Ridley truthers and stuff. And look, I'm a Georgia fan through and through. That's my number one team. I love Ridley, but that's only because he was a Bulldog. They're saying that he is going to come in and be a threat to Anthony Miller.
And what? by they, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about, what's his face? Jim Nagy from the Reese's Bowl? Something like that.
Maybe that's where the trolls got their information from. But this, I mean, I've saw this with multiple people. So is he going to be a threat to Anthony Miller?
Absolutely not. There's zero chance. He's going to be a good fourth string, number four wide receiver. He's a good Josh Bellamy replacement. That's what he is.
People are saying this guy, late fourth round pick at that, you know, he has decent size, 6'1", 199, but man, if people are saying that he's going to come in and usurp the number one wide receiver on the Bears.
Anyone that says that has not seen Anthony Miller play, it does not know that he was number two among rookie wide receivers last year in touchdown receptions with a constantly dislocating shoulder. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Anthony Miller, and I can't say enough mediocre things about Riley Ridley.
So, Rob, do you love you some Riley Ridley, man?
No, I'm real middle of the road on that middle of the road guy. I think mediocre is the best word to describe him. Guy is medium at best.
So how much Riley Ridley do you own in Dynasty, Rob?
Actually, zero. I am a 0% shareholder proudly of Riley Ridley this year. I almost took him once, and that's because my phone dropped out of my hand, and I almost pressed draft on him. But frankly, around that part, I'd rather take Emmanuel Hall and stash him as far as like a Bears wide receiver. I think he's got more talent than Riley Ridley, and I'd rather take the dart throw if I'm just going to stash him on a taxi squad anyway.
So I'm in a 20 team dynasty league, IDP regular. We are having our rookie draft right now. Riley Ridley went in at 3-8, so the 48th pick overall. He went before a guy who I love, Gary Jennings Jr., who I took. He went before Benny Snell, Quadre Olson, I think his name is Miles Gaskin, Travion Williams. I mean, I don't know if I'm by myself on this island. I do have one share of Riley Ridley. I am also with you that I love Mr. Hall there, man. Emmanuel Hall, it's more of his personality and his work ethic that made him slide in the draft from what I've heard. He's absolute steal for the Bears. I mean, this guy – if he can put it all together and it clicks, the Bears can have a fearsome trio at wide receiver with A-Rob, Anthony Miller, and Hall and that at Z. I mean, that's crazy. But I don't see Riley Ridley really sticking on this roster for more than a year. Am I wrong for that?
I don't think so. I think he's just a guy, and you're going to get more athletic guys, and next year's wide receiver class is just as good in the later rounds. So, I mean, he'll stick around this year because they need depth, but next year they're going to draft a guy in the later rounds, and he'll be better than Riley Ridley.
I see it the same way.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I mean, like, Riley Ridley is a guy that I liked as he's a good wide receiver, but he's not going to be excellent at the next level. Taylor Gabriel is not going anywhere, in my opinion. Anthony Miller's, I agree with you, he's the wide receiver one there, and then Allen Robinson is leaps and bounds better than Riley Ridley. So I think it's going to be a struggle for him to see the field, and I don't know if he's going to be a special teams participant very much.
So Riley Ridley reminds me of a guy by the name of Mario Manningham. And Manningham is 6'1", 185, a little bit different than Ridley, but he carved out a nice little 6-year career in the NFL. He became a Super Bowl champion. His career statistics are 211 catches for 2,849 yards and 19 touchdowns. I don't see Riley Ridley having that big of a career. And this guy, Mario Manningham, really only had 2 good years with the Giants late in his career. But I see that being his peak. You know, a journeyman that latches on to a weak wide receiver depth chart and gets lucky one year with a team. Could be the Bears, could be another team down the road, and wins a Super Bowl. And that's enough. That's enough for him. I mean, after 4 years, he's out of the league, kind of like this guy. I see that happening. So word of advice to everyone out there, don't invest in Riley Ridley, please. Don't.
At the round that you were talking about with the guys that went after Riley Ridley, I would much rather take a shot at handcuffing a starting running back with a guy like Travion or Quadri or someone like that, because That's the kind of guy that's going to win you leagues when like Devonta Freeman or Joe Mixon get injured. You're going to need the handcuff running back. So give me those handcuff running backs over Riley Ridley any day of the week.
Or you could get possibly the best running back in the Packers backfield, Dexter Williams. I mean, we don't know yet, but we do know that the Packers historically don't stick to one guy. They go with whoever's hot. I don't know how the new coach will go with the little running backs there, but I do know it'll be Dexter Williams or Aaron Jones. And if I can get a starting running back in the third round over a guy who might not make the team, then yeah, I'm going to do that all day. So now to the real intro questions. Rank these players from best to worst. Buy, like you're buying these players. Who's the best buy? Who's the worst buy? Are you ready?
Yes.
Albert Wilson, Philly Dorsett, Keelan Cole, Robert Foster, Tyrell Williams, or Christian, wide receiver one, Kirk?
So my rank from best to worst is going to be Kirk, Wilson, Keelan, Tyrell, Foster, and then Dorsett. That's how I'd rank them right now. As far as who I'm buying with upside and price, I can see you making arguments for a couple guys in the middle to be swapped around. But as far as the talent profiles and the projected volume, I think that's the order I'd have them in.
You're correct. Christian Kirk should be number one on all accounts. Mm-hmm. Philly Dorsett is someone I'm iffy on, man, because in that Patriots wide receiver corps, he has some upside. I mean, he really does have something that can prove to be useful this year and years to come. He showed last year, when given the chance, he actually performed to what we thought he was going to be coming out of college. I like Albert Wilson, though, more than him. I like Keelan Cole more than him. The other three, any way you want to slice it, I mean, you could be right, you could be wrong, no one knows. But Dorsett is somebody I'm finding myself getting for free on waivers in every league. And I love it because, as I've said on previous episodes, I love free stuff. Who doesn't love free stuff?
So true.
I mean, it's the best thing out there. Rob, if I gave you a free can of baked beans and brisket, would you take it?
I mean, all day, every day. Free baked beans and brisket would, like, literally make my night amazing.
You see? Look, free stuff. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. So, speaking of free stuff, who has the best current ADP right now that it feels like you're getting so much stuff for free with them?
For me, I really like a Geronimo Allison. He's being taken super, super late. He's like the 47th wide receiver off the board. You're getting him in the 12th round, and that's a guy that you could see Aaron Rodgers relying on. So that's, I think if you're looking at upside and like legitimate upside, not just kind of, oh, maybe I'll take a stab. Like, this guy has legitimate, like, high end wide receiver two upside with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback in the 12th round. I think that's phenomenal.
So you like Geronimo Allison. I like MVS there to win that job. We could both be right.
That's fair.
They could ideally, with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, both be wide receiver twos on some weeks.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you like free stuff. They're both basically free at that ADP. You snag them both, and regardless how it shakes out, you're getting excellent value. You're getting excellent production from one of the two or both.
And we saw Geronimo during the first 3 weeks. I think he averaged about 15 points per week before he got hurt. I mean, that's something that most teams get every week out of their wide receiver two starter. Mm-hmm. If you get that for free and you have that in your flex, you have that much of an advantage. Who's your best ADP value, Rob? Just curious.
Julian Edelman, actually, talking about Patriots wide receivers. People seem to be forgetting all about him, but he's still the wide receiver one up there in New England. And as of right now, Tom Brady's still throwing passes to him. And that offense might go a little more run heavy with Sony Michel, Damien Harris, and James White up there. But I still think that he's going to rack up some great games and still give you a pretty solid floor. And he's going as late as sometimes the 8th or 9th rounds in startup dynasty right now, and I am all over that. And I'd take the production that he's probably going to provide for the next 2 to 3 years over any first round 2019 rookie pick right now.
Yeah, we might have to delete that because I don't want his ADP to move.
I think you nailed that one. Yeah, that's another guy I love.
I mean, that ADP is so juicy. I like Marvin Jones, but I've said that before. I've given a whole spiel on Marvin Jones. What I think happens to Marvin Jones is he comes out, he shows out. He's a decent wide receiver too, high-end flex for you. Middle of the season, he gets traded to, let's say, New England. Let's say a team like Pittsburgh, who is making a playoff run, who is not in the same division, not even in the same, you know, area code as Detroit. And we have seen already a few trades between Detroit and the Patriots where it's kind of the Patriots, you know, thing. Like, Belichick gave homeboy a job for a few years, and now he's paying him back with some talent. So I think that could be one of the possible outcomes. Pay attention to Marvin Jones' stock and the market on him during this actual season, because I do smell a trade coming for Marvin Jones. And that's just me. That's just my instinct, my feeling right now. You know, I just see something happening there because I didn't think Golden Tate was going to get traded last year, and he did. And it works out well for both sides. So that's my guy. So you got Geronimo, you got MVS, you got old man Edelman, and you got Marvin Jones Jr. One thing I got to ask, Michael, is what are you thinking putting Philip Lindsay over Royce Freeman?
I mean, I think for me, that's pretty obvious. I watched the tape of the two guys, and I think Philip Lindsay's obviously the better back. You see a guy that gets the ball in the backfield, and he can make a guy miss in the backfield before he even gets to the line of scrimmage. So on plays regularly that should be a loss, he makes it a 3-4 yard gain, and he does that regularly. The nuance that he has as a runner, I think is exceptional. The angles that he takes, the changes in his acceleration, he's actually pretty powerful for his size. He's not a small guy. He's thick, so his BMI is like 29. And I just think overall, he's a much better player than Royce Freeman. I know they got the draft capital in Royce, but I just think you watch the two guys. And Lindsay's obviously the guy that sticks out. Royce is just a guy there.
Oof. Breaks my heart.
I know. I'm a guy that bought Royce Freeman everywhere last year. I was the biggest Royce Freeman buyer last year. And then at the first, as soon as I saw Philip Lindsay, I'm like, holy crap. And I went and bought him everywhere. And so I knew early on that, geez, this guy Philip Lindsay is good. He's much better than we thought, and now I have Philip Lindsay everywhere that I had Royce Freeman.
That's a nice tandem to have too, because those two guys together will probably give you an RB1 week to week. If either mm-hmm. one's injured, the other one's going to be favored more heavily. I think they're both going to see some shares out of the backfield each week. I still think those two guys are going to be the ones that see the playing time, and Philip Lindsay above Royce Freeman. Unless Philip Lindsay can't get healthy until after training camp, that's one thing that I will be keeping an eye on, is how that wrist injury heals, because that can affect him pass catching. And when people are hitting him, being able to hold on to that ball, that wrist injury can come back to haunt him.
I mean, the guy's 5'7", 170-something pounds. I can't choose him over a 6-foot monster that is 225, give or take a few pounds. I love Royce Freeman. He was in my top three running backs last year for the class. It went Chubb, Barkley, Freeman for me. And I still have hope for Freeman, man. In my eyes, he's the better running back. Philip Lindsay can be the Chris Thompson, and Royce Freeman could be the Adrian Peterson, because we haven't seen what Darius Geis is yet there. Or he could be the Mark Ingram, and Lindsay could be the lesser Kamara. I don't know. I see Lindsay getting broken in half whenever they go and play the Raiders. Vontaze Burfict likes to break little things in half.
And if he can touch Lindsay.
That's what's going to happen. Well, Lindsay's going to try to show his oats and just try to truck him, and then Vontaze is going to power slam him in the middle of the field. That's what I see happening, but I could be wrong, man. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't trust Lindsay. I think he's a major sell right now based on what he did last year. I don't see him doing it again. I won't take anything you say and to convince me, because I think you're 100% wrong on this, and you really hurt me.
I'm sorry. We'll check back at the end of the season, and if I'm wrong, then I'll own up to it.
Right. Or if he's, you know, in a body cast by week one and just somehow falls down the stairs, or they're mowing the grass and he jumps out of the way and accidentally tweaks his ankle. Who knows? This guy's made of paper. I mean, look how small he is. Poor guy. So anyway, we spoke about Ingram and Kamara for a brief second. Are we looking at a better Saints backfield this season with the addition of Latavius Murray, Divino, Zigbo? Kamara is still there, obviously, but I feel like the Saints got a younger, more versatile Mark Ingram. Am I wrong?
So I think we're looking at a very similar situation. Definitely could be better. What you're getting with Latavius Murray, I think, is a lot more than people think. I think Latavius Murray is a really great athlete. I think he's a better pass catcher than people give him credit for. And I think he's a really great goal line back. So he's a guy that I've actually been buying a lot of. Divine Ozigbo definitely is a guy that you want to have in case of injury. He's a good, solid running back. And he'll be good for years to come. But they signed Latavius Murray to a 4-year contract, so I'm kind of thinking he's their guy there that's going to step into the Mark Ingram role. So, I mean, I think it's going to be at least, at the very minimum, it's going to be just as good as it was last year. And I think Latavius Murray is a huge buy right now.
And you have people like saying out there, Alvin Kamara is a huge buy right now because Ingram is gone, overlooking the fact that Latavius is walking in younger and more fresh than Ingram. I mean, let's get real. The Saints do not want to feature Kamara and feed him 30 touches a game. They don't want to do that. Peyton has said that numerous times. They want to keep him fresh, keep him healthy. So I would do what Michael just said if I was you listening to this show. I would go acquire Latavius Murray because they're obviously going to use him. I have multiple leagues where I have Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. Well, I started trading off Courtland Sutton. Then I said, well, I don't want to trade all my Courtland Sutton, so I'm going to trade Deshaun's. So I started trading Deshaun for Latavius Murray. That is a trade I would make if I need a running back in the league. I've been doing that in multiple leagues. Probably did it to you if you're listening to this show, because I always do what I'm going to say before I even say that I'm going to do it. Rob, my man.
Yes.
Why are people selling a top five dynasty receiver in Michael Thomas? Why are they selling Michael Thomas, who has shown if he puts it all together with a good quarterback and stays consistent, he could be the wide receiver one? Why are people selling him under a top five wide receiver price?
So I think there's a little bit of recency bias going on with that one. Michael Thomas kind of took a dip towards the end of the season last year, and it wasn't necessarily him. Drew Brees was spreading the ball around a little bit. They started scoring a lot of points on the ground. So when Michael Thomas is coming into this year, people are still remembering that little bit of down. And he hurt me in a couple of leagues, money leagues last year, because he kind of shit out in the playoffs. And that's not when you need your wide receiver one that you're going to spend possibly – first or second round draft capital in to be dropping the ball, proverbially. So I would rather have somebody that I know is going to have targets week in, week out in a more high-powered offense. So if I can trade Michael Thomas for a top five receiver, I'm definitely going to do it.
I mean, if you want to talk about sales, let's talk about OBJ. OBJ is not going to be that much better than what he was with the Giants because of market share there. You have David Njoku, you get Antonio Callaway, Rashard Higgins, Jarvis Landry, Duke Johnson Jr. If he's still there by the time the season rolls around, you got Dontrell Hilliard, you got Nick Chubb, you got Kareem Hunt when he comes back, you got Demetrius Harris, you have Baker Mayfield who could catch passes. You have a lot of other weapons on that offense. I mean, come on. And we think OBJ is going to get force-fed 20 targets a game like he was in New York? Yes, he has a better quarterback. Who can run? He can run. Eli Manning can't run. Eli Manning can barely walk. So you're not going to say that Odell is a sell. Then you need to just go somewhere and read a book or something, because you have to realize the news that's in front of you. This is the biggest sell opportunity we have had, where you can sell Odell Beckham for possibly an Antonio Brown and a Darius Geis with a little bit of 2023rd round pick sprinkled on top of that. How good does that sound? I love it.
Ooh, I got a trade for you that you almost outlined, actually. Sent Antonio Brown, N'Keal Harry, Quadri Allison, and a 2023rd for Odell Beckham, Mark Andrews, and a 2021st. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, Odell in the first for me.
It's not bad. I'm trying to get those firsts everywhere. But that was I think Odell is appropriately priced. I got him right up there with DeAndre Hopkins for my wide receiver one in Dynasty, just because I believe in Baker Mayfield and I believe in Odell's talent. So I'm going to respectfully disagree with the sell right now. I think we forget about how good, how truly historically good he is.
He's a very good wide receiver. He's definitely top five for me. I think I have it DeAndre Hopkins one, Devontae Adams two, Juju because he's so good. And people forget how historically good Juju is also. And that's the weird part. Everybody's like, oh, Odell, we'll get a cheaper Odell and Juju. But I don't know who I have fourth, but I know I have Odell fifth. So I'm not saying he's like a major sell, but I'm saying instead of trading Michael Thomas, why don't you just trade Odell away and get Michael Thomas plus?
Yep. I think that's an excellent strategy there. If you're getting that wide receiver one value for Odell and you can get a ton back for him, I mean, that's definitely a great sell. You literally can't get any higher than his value right now.
Someone could ideally sell Odell Beckham for a 2021st, Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, and let's say Odell a 2022nd on one side, and you have a 2021st, Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, and Michael Thomas. What are you doing? What are you taking?
I mean, I'm going to take the package there. Absolutely take the package.
And Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller are so cheap right now. You're potentially getting two wide receiver ones on two offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I could be crazy. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think you're crazy.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't see his production going up more. But he is good. He's obviously the wide receiver one and obviously a better team and situation. But they also have a better run game. Not saying they have a better running back. Nobody come at me with guns and shit blazing. But they have a better line. They have a better offense that puts up more points to where they will be leading more than the Giants were leading last year. So they will need to run the ball more. So opportunity is less with the Browns long term in a game than it is with the Giants. I don't think they'll be throwing all game with the Browns. Do what you want about Odell. You just had three different sides, maybe a fourth side that you could somehow get from what all was just said. One guy who will have all the opportunity in the world, though, is Damian Williams. He has the job. Right now, he has the job. If he sticks with that job, he will be a top 10 running back for 2019, possibly even top five. Are you one of the people who believe that the fifth round pick in Darwin Thompson or Mr. Zombie Hyde will take the job from him?
Absolutely not. Don't get me wrong. I love Darwin Thompson. I love me some Darwin Thompson. But Damian Williams has to be the guy. On a points per game basis, he would have been the RB3 last year. Just on points per game, it was Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, and then Damian Williams. He's number three points per game. I think he's got literal number one running back upside this season in the Chiefs offense. And everyone that's selling him is crazy. You're looking for the 3-year window in running backs, and if you got him, you got him for free, and you're gonna get top 10 running back upside. I think one trade that I made recently was I got a 2021st and Damian Williams for David Montgomery and like a third, and I'm stoked about that because now I'm gonna win the championship because my running backs are sick. And I didn't have to pay anything for it. And I got a 2021st to replace Damian Williams in 2020 when they draft a guy.
I love winning championships. So I love that trade. I mean, I love getting free stuff. And Damian Williams, at his price, is a free RB1 for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, I'm selling him. I'm selling him everywhere. I don't think he has the job in 2 years. But this year, why not get him, buy him for a 2022 or something. Watch him explode. Sell him after you win the championship, of course, this year. Yep. Sell him for a 2021. Wow.
There you go.
That should be illegal.
Now you won a championship and you got the assets.
Right, right, right. So rewind it back right now. I don't know why we're going to bring up Mac action on this show, or Maction, however you want to say it, but you like Darwin Thompson, man. He's from Utah State with no competition. Convince me why he's good, because he's slow. Oh, and I don't like slow runners.
He's not slow, though. So Player Profiler is where everyone looks at his 40. And Player Profiler claims they add a 500th of a second to the 40. I looked for a 40 that if you add 500th of a second, that puts you at a 4.6 something, and I couldn't find it. The slowest 40 I saw him run hand timed was a 4.50. That's fast. He ran a sub 4.5 in my book, and I think that's fast. You see him on film, he's fast. He's outrunning guys. He's not a 4.3 guy. He's not this blazer, but he is plenty fast, and he does not get the credit that he deserves for his speed.
I mean, he went and he said he could be the Chiefs' Barry Sanders. I don't know if I agree with all that, but I guess, man, I'm not buying him, but I wanted to see what goes on with people who do like him, because he's a hot commodity right now. A lot of people do like this guy, a lot. So
it's because he looks like a mini Saquon out there. He, like, you're not calling him Saquon Barkley because he's obviously not that guy, but you watch him and you watch his skills, you watch his abilities, and he's mini Saquon Barkley. Very, very mini, don't get me wrong.
So you're a Bears fan.
I am a Bears fan.
So answer me this. Trey Burton or Mike Gesicki?
Oh.
Because you have Mike Gesicki with the Dolphins, or you have Trey Burton, who I don't think is the best tight end on that roster. Personally, I like Adam Shaheen if they give him the damn chance he needs. But then you have a guy who was a superb athlete, I mean, coming out of Penn State. Who isn't an athlete coming out of Penn State? But Mike Gesicki, man, he's just – I don't know if he's that good.
Can I pick neither? Is that an option here?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't
want either.
Mike Gesicki. Gesicki is just – he's just there, and he was given so much opportunity last year. Everybody says rookie tight ends are never good in the first year. Well, nobody that's a rookie tight end is given as much opportunity as Mike Gesicki. I don't understand it. I don't understand what's the big fascination with him. What's the deal? I want to know. Like, I really do. Don't they have Dwayne Allen now? Isn't Dwayne Allen better than Mike Gesicki? I mean, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's going on, man. Like, it's – maybe they don't have Dwayne Allen. Maybe that's just something I thought they did. But if you have Mike Gesicki or Trey Burton, I'm going for, like, Tyler Eifert maybe over them too, just to think, like, what if Tyler Eifert stays healthy? What if he stays healthy and he's, like, really good again and gets that, you know, 7-8 touchdown season and he's a top 10 tight end? I mean, he just seems better than Mike Gesicki. That's just me.
You know what I'm doing there is I'm getting Jared Cook. Oof. I'll take Jared Cook over both of those guys. Trey Boo Boo or Mike Gesicki.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. That's a correct answer as well. I would take I could probably take a few backups over Mike Gesicki. But anyways, going to things that don't suck. Pringles are amazing. Now, we have this guy that just burst onto the scene. He was there last year in training camp, but he kind of got hurt and yada, yada, yada. Fast forward 365 days. Mr. Byron Pringles. What do you think of this guy?
So I honestly don't know a ton about him. I know he had a little bit of a splash last year before the injury. Honestly, I'm not buying him too heavily here. I really think that if you're going to invest in a wide receiver on the Chiefs, it's going to be DeMarcus Robinson for this season, for the games that Tyreek Hill suspended. That's my best guess there. So I mean, he's super free, but I'm not all on the Byron Pringles hype train.
Boo! Tyreek Hill sucks, dude.
Yeah,
Tyreek Hill, what a God, dude! I can't stand that dude. What a piece of shit. Anyways, I have to say that every show, he's a piece of shit. So.
I know.
So Byron Pringle, though, 6'1", 205, good size, man, and he's undrafted and he's stuck on the roster for over a year, which is a big deal. If you look at, like, historically, I've seen some people do these little, you know, you got people all on Twitter that do little research data things on Microsoft Excel, and I wish I could do all that. That's pretty cool. But somebody did it where they showed UDFAs that stick on for more than a year, and the track record is pretty good with him. The guy has, like, 4.4 speed or something, and he was decent in college. I mean, he had, like, his yards per reception were like 90th percentile. You know, it was like upper 90s, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. Yeah, 98th. College yards per reception was 24.1. So he's a big play guy, right? He's a big time, you know, wide receiver that can break in space and stuff. Everybody's expecting Mecole Hardman to come in, which I love Mecole Hardman. As I said, I'm a Georgia fan, but I think that Pringle could, like, make a few splash plays, be a good grab for free off the waiver wire, and we don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to play a game, because sometimes he just doesn't play, and I don't know why, but he just doesn't play at all, and then they're rolling out Demetrius Robinson, or DeMarcus Robinson, Pringles, and Mecole Hardman. I mean, in this offense, is it crazy thinking that this guy could somehow be a good flex? I don't think so. So if he's on your waivers, I'm grabbing him for free. Pringles are a pretty good chip to eat, by the way. You should try those. They don't sponsor us, but we're trying to get them to. Some news I wanted to kind of speak on. My guy Jonah Williams looks like he's going to miss this season. This does not move Joe Mixon's ranking for me in redraft or dynasty, because why should it? We haven't seen Joe Mixon play with Jonah Williams. My rankings were based on what he did last year and what he can do, not based on how much the offensive line improved to the left tackle spot. He's going to have the same left tackle as he did last year with Cordy Glenn. I mean, this isn't that big of a news to me, so don't overreact, people. Don't go and sell Mr. Mixon. I still think he's going to break out this year. And, yeah, that is that. That is all for the intro news and notes. Welcome to the Scott Fishbowl, Michael. Is this your first year?
This is my first year. I'm super excited to be in the Scott Fishbowl.
It's going to be crazy, man. I can tell you from experience, it's going to be a crazy time, and you will pay attention to that more than any of your other leagues.
I'll bet I will. I'm in quite a few, but I'm super, super excited for that one.
The thing is that he eliminated trading to eliminate the time, you know, spent on the league, but it's become such a big thing that people were paying attention to it more than their regular leagues. I mean, I was in 33 leagues last year, okay, altogether.
Oof, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I'm at about 23 right now, so I've been trimming where I need to. So I paid attention to two leagues more than I paid attention to that. One was my biggest money league, where the prize is thousands of dollars. Obviously, I'm going to pay attention to that. And the second one is one of my home leagues. And this Scott Fishbowl was my third. I was like, dude, this is like – and I just whiffed on the draft, dude. I didn't realize it was tight end premium till round 5. And I was rolling out Greg Olsen and, like, Jake Butt week one. And I drafted LeSean McCoy in round 5. And then I was like, oh, shit, it's tight end premium. And then turns out I could have drafted, like, a really good tight end there that I'm not going to name, but – it really, really hurt my heart. So I'm going back this year with a vengeance. And I'm going to win, but it's going to, like, it's hard out here whenever, like, that kind of put me down in the dumps, man, last year. I just got to pay attention more to the league settings, which I advise everybody to do. Know your league settings.
Yeah, you got to. And I think it's going to be interesting because this year it is, you do have that super flex option. It's four flex, I believe, and one of them is a super flex option. So it's going to be interesting, the different strategies. And I've tried a couple different ones out. I got a mock draft going on right now with all the same settings as the Scott Fishbowl. So I'm excited. I think I have a pretty good idea of certain guys that I want to target in certain rounds and guys that I want to stay away from because it's redraft. You don't have to worry about age and stuff. So a guy like the older, I don't want to give anything away in case we're in the same league, but you get the older wide receivers that all of a sudden people that are kind of stuck in that dynasty mindset might have them in the back of their mind a little bit later, and you can snag a really good wide receiver before other people might be onto him.
I mean, this year can't be worse than the last year for me. I'll tell you that. My quarterbacks, it was super flex. My quarterbacks were Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo, who were both hurt by week three. Greg Olson, OJ Howard, I ended up getting, I think, and the Broncos tight ends. Well, I rocked one tight end for the whole year. Who else? Like, four of my starters were on IR the whole year. So let's just put that out there. Can't be worse.
You're going for the least injury prone players this year.
Yeah, you could say that. I'm going to draft who's going to make me win, but I can't really tell you who that is because I don't want other people to know who's going to, like, who's the best people to draft this year. Cause I like winning, you know?
Yep. Well, I get that.
I don't like saying my secrets. So tell me some of your secrets. Who is your impact rookie of the year this year? Which rookie will have the best impact in year one? And why do you think this? And I swear, if you say Darwin Thompson.
I'm not going to say Darwin Thompson. I like Darwin Thompson as a handcuff, but I'm not buying him as, like, the guy there. But I think he could be an excellent handcuff. So my impact rookie of the year, I feel like you could go a lot of different ways here. But I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson. And I really think that, Pittsburgh's wide receiver core is kind of up in the air, and that number two wide receiver is up in the air. There's a ton of vacated targets there. And they got to go to someone. And I think, I'm not a James Washington believer. I'm not a Dante Moncrief believer. And so that leaves, I'm not an Eli Rogers, whatever, you know, like Deontay Johnson's profile as a player, the way that he plays, the separation that he gets. I think he can be excellent. And, if he can develop a rapport with Big Ben, I think he will be, he'll have a huge impact on both the Steelers and on your fantasy teams. So I'm going with Deontay Johnson there.
So who is your, I guess, brand, like your hashtag brand, whatever, that you are targeting everywhere? It could be as many people as you want, but who's like your guy or your guys that you're getting, redraft dynasty, any league, you name it, you're getting them?
So, I mean, does it have to be rookies or can I go?
It could be anyone you want. It could even be like a, you know, if you're drafting Russell Westbrook in the NFL league, I mean, do you? I just want to know who's your guys.
All right, I can dig it. So I'm going to go, I mean, first of all, Anthony Miller. He's my guy. I have to have him. I have him in every single league except one. And the one guy that, the one league that I don't have him in, the guy took him in the round that he knew I was going to draft him in, and he reached super early, and now he's going to try and trade him to me, just like
what
you said.
An asshole. God,
it was funny. He's in a couple leagues with me, and he's like, yeah, I needed a share of Anthony Miller, and I knew you were going to grab him early. So I'll probably try and buy him at some point. I gotta be 100% on someone, you know.
So like that.
That was it. Was funny though. I laughed at it. I was pissed for probably about 10 minutes, and now I just got to figure out how to get him cheap. So I got Anthony Miller. I really have been getting a lot of Latavius Murray and Kenyon Drake. I think both of those guys are my guys. I love the way they play. I like how cheap they are, and I really I'm a big fan of drafting guys that I like the game of. So like Mike Evans is not my brand at all. I don't have him anywhere. and it's not because I think he's bad. It's just because I don't like how he plays.
He's bad. He gets force-fed targets. Like,
yeah.
He's like you have two monkeys, okay? And you give one monkey a banana per day. Well, then you give the other monkey a bundle of bananas per day. One monkey is going to become bigger. The one that eats the bundle. Well, you got my man, Chris Godwin, who is getting, you know, not that big of a target share, but he's performing well. Then you got this dude, Mike Evans, who thinks it's cool to hit people in the back of the heads and stuff, and just a douche. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's just horrible. I don't know. He's a good fantasy player, but I just don't think he's a good wide receiver because he's force-fed targets, and he does not really do anything that efficient with the targets that he's given.
Exactly. His yak is almost zero.
I mean, right now, if you give me, say we start a team today and you say, okay, pick Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, or Justin Watson. I'm taking Chris Godwin and Justin Watson over at take Mike Evans.
Yeah. I created kind of a stir because I got Mike Evans right at the bottom of my top 10 dynasty wide receivers, maybe at 11 for me. And I was putting Stephon Diggs over him, and people are thinking I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm not a Mike Evans guy. He's not my brand. But Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are my brand for sure. I'm a Adam Thielen guy through and through. I was super high on him. I was higher than most on him, and so I got him right before his breakout year, in a lot of places, and so. Vikings wide receiver core, I think, is phenomenal for me. I'm going to go with Joe Mixon as kind of like my last guy. I got a lot of guys that I love, but Joe Mixon's the last guy that I truly loved as a player. And I just think he's like arguably the best receiving back in the NFL. I'm not saying he's the best, but I'm saying you can make an argument that he is the best receiving back in the NFL. He's got some wiggle. He's got some power. I love the way he plays, and I want all the Joe Mixon. I'm taking him as in the late first round. I'm taking him as my number one running back for my team. I want him everywhere.
I love it. I love those guys. My guy is I'm just going to hit every position. You got Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson. Those are my two guys.
Oh, love it.
Then you got Nick Chubb, who, too late, don't try to buy Nick Chubb because you're not going to be able to afford him. You also have a guy who I really, really like in Marlon Mack. Then you have wide receiver. Oh, you got Jalen Samuels, too. That's my dog. That's my number one guy. But then you got like Paris Campbell at wide receiver, who I really, really like. He's my wide receiver one in rookies. Beats Nikhil by a hair just because of quarterback play. And another wide receiver I'm really warming up to, which I shouldn't be because it goes against all that I believe, is AJ Green. Because I'm a Georgia guy, as I said four times on the show already. And he's coming off an injury, and I buy players who are coming off injuries because that's the cheapest you'll get them ever. And then a tight end who I'm buying off an injury is O.J. Howard. That's my guy, too. He's been my guy. I'm just hoping finally this is his year because, man, this is becoming a headache. And also Jack Doyle because everybody thinks Ebron's the starter there. Take a cold shower. Get your mind right. So what is your rookie draft strategy?
So my rookie draft strategy, it's going to vary from year to year. This year, it's kind of been try and trade 2019 picks and get 2020 picks. I feel like there's one or two guys that I want in the first round. And outside of that, I'm okay just waiting a year because I don't know which ones are going to have impact and I don't want to waste my time because I think the 2020 class is better. But historically, early on, I like to grab running backs. Whatever starting running backs you can grab, there's kind of a top three there in Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, and Miles Sanders. We'll talk about Miles Sanders later, I'm sure. But that's kind of the strategy is grab the running backs early. And then if you're in the late first round, that's where I like to take shots on wide receivers because they typically take a little bit longer to develop. And I mean, if you draft a rookie wide receiver early first round, I'll get him for a second round pick at the end of the season because he'll have underperformed and you're going to panic a little bit. So that's kind of my strategy there. The late rounds, I'll take stabs on the backup running backs because I think those guys are more valuable than the late round rookie wide receivers because they'll if anything happens and a starter gets injured, that guy's your league winner. So I'm mostly drafting rookie running backs, to be honest. If you just kind of look at the strategy, I'm ending up with if there's four rounds, I'm ending up with three running backs and one wide receiver, maybe.
I love it. I love that strategy. One thing that I pissed off a lot of people when I said this, I've said it on Twitter, I've said it on a few shows, I've said it in actually a few leagues that I have Rob with me in. I am starting to think 2020 picks are becoming overrated. Because people are gambling on their confidence, I guess, in themselves or their process of hitting on one of those 2020 picks because of the talent that is, you know, they could come out next year in the class, which don't get me wrong, it's one of the best classes of all time, supposedly. It looks that way as of right now. In every position, it looks stacked. It looks like third-round picks next year are going to be just as good as second-round picks this year. Probably some second round picks are going to be just as good as the top three players in this class. But I'm starting to see starters going for these picks. I mean, guys like David Johnson went for a 2020 first.
Just one?
Yeah. No. Nah, no. No, don't do that.
Golly.
I saw Sam Darnold in a Superflex go for a 2020 first. I'm really not enjoying this little bonanza that we have on the 2020 first right now. I'm starting to think they're overrated. So just for all the listeners, just keep an eye out for that. Maybe see what you can get for your 2020 first. And if it's a top 10 guy at his position, I would sell. Yeah, I'd do that, especially if you're a contender, because I know I'm going to win 90% of my leagues. So I don't really keep my picks. I usually trade all of them. That's how I keep winning, because I just trade and I'm stacked, and then I'll end up trading one of my big assets for a 2020 first and another thing, you know. That's kind of my strategy, so just something to keep an eye out. I just wanted to mention that. Rapid fire for Mr. FF Rich: the greatest values in dynasty startups for 2019. Give me one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, and one tight end. Go.
Sam Darnold, Kenyon Drake, Golden Tate, and Vance McDonald.
Vance. Yum. I love Vance.
Me too.
We're going to take a quick break. This is where an ad's going to go, and I don't know what the ad's going to say, so enjoy the ad.
Hey, everybody. I just want to let you know that the entries for this year's Sleepwire Pro-Am and Listener Leagues are now available. Coming back for the fifth season, we once again have a great lineup of pros, including Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Mitch Renz, Pat Fitzmaurice, Marcus Grant, Justin Boone, the Sleeper app, and so much more. We have so many options for you to play with the pros and us this season. A one-time $50 donation to our Patreon page will get you into the Pro-Am. A one-time donation of $30 gets you into a listener league with us. And a one-time $75 donation gets you into both the Pro-Am and a Listener League. Visit patreon.com/sleeperwire to make your donation, and then screenshot your confirmation email and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to get you on the list. Make sure to include your name and your sleeper username in the email. Once again, that's patreon.com/sleeperwire and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com.
All right, we're back, and we're still doing rapid fire because that's what we do, thing hot and fast around here. Don't take that the wrong way. Let's go to dynasty stashes. Quarterbacks, who you got?
Clayton Thorson.
Whoa.
Hold up. Yeah, baby.
I wasn't expecting that. Elaborate a little bit. This is, okay, we're putting ice on the fire, slowing down. Elaborate a little bit on Thorson.
All right, so this is a little bit of a homer pick. I'm good friends with his older brother Luke, and I played college football with both of his brothers. But if you look at Carson Wentz injury history, you need the backup quarterback for the Eagles, and I think Clayton Thorson has just as good a shot as any of the other guys on that roster to be that backup. And he is 100% free. People hate him for some reason, but you look at what he did with Northwestern, leading him to the Big Ten championship game with literally zero talent. His best wide receiver was Flynn Nagel, right? Like, how do you lead the Northwestern Wildcats to the Big Ten championship with Flynn Nagel being your best wide receiver? I don't get it. So the guy can play. He's a great dual threat quarterback, which people don't actually realize. He played wide receiver in high school as well, so he's a good athlete, and he's a smart kid. So you know he's going to pick up the offense quickly. He started as a freshman in college, which no quarterback at Northwestern had ever done. He went to freaking Northwestern, so you know he's intelligent, and I personally know he's intelligent. Because I know him and his family, so I think just all around you're getting a great, well-rounded prospect, and you're getting him on a team with an injury-prone Carson Wentz, and you have to realize that that's a high-volume passing offense, and it's an offense that I think he's going to pick up quickly, and I think he's going to be very, very valuable as the handcuff there, especially in super flex leagues. Because if Carson Wentz gets injured, then you're struggling there, and he's basically free. So I think for just so many reasons, he's a great stash. Just look at what he did with Northwestern and with that program, and I think that speaks volumes about the kind of player that he really is.
So I'm picking him up right now. You convinced me.
All right.
I am picking him up literally this very second. Oh, he's a rookie. My rookie draft didn't go through yet. Damn. That just broke my heart.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, now I know. I'm going to get him. I'm not going to publish this show until after the rookie draft happens.
I'm glad that was compelling for you. Was it the Flynn Nagel that got you?
Yeah, that was. I'm going to have to look up that name. I wrote it down.
Yeah. Tell me a less athletic wide receiver one than Flynn Nagel.
Riley Ridley.
Oh no, Riley Ridley is at least double the athlete.
Oh, so we're putting Coles back on the fire. We're going. Again, you know, we're going hot speed right now. Give me a running back, dart throw.
I want to take Darwin Thompson. I know we already talked about him, but I want Darwin.
Wide receivers.
Dart throw wide receiver. Give me Keelan Cole. Big Keelan Cole guy.
Or Darius Shepherd. Tight ends.
Tight end, I want Dawson Knox.
Ooh, yeah. I love it. Dawson Knox for the win. That's my guy. That is my guy. He's going to be the best rookie tight end this year.
I would not doubt it. I'm a big TJ Hockenson fan, but I would not doubt if Dawson Knox was a good fantasy producer this year. I have him in a lot of leagues.
You know, with that Marvin Jones trade earlier would help, right? TJ Hockenson in the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
So with all of this rookie and stash talk being said, who was your most stashed player and why? Not Anthony Miller. Don't say Anthony Miller. Your most stashed player.
You know, I got a lot of Anthony Miller. my most stashed player is Darwin Thompson, and a lot of that is because I have Damian Williams in a lot of places. So I'm trying to handcuff Damian Williams, and for that reason, I'm more inclined to get a Darwin Thompson. I know we're talking about him a lot, but it's the way that I've been playing this year and the strategy that I've been having is this super high upside, and I know that if anything happens, I need to have the guy that has the best chance to step up and take that role. So I've been taking him. I've also been taking Trey Quinn. That's another guy that I'm like, you have no idea how that whole offense is going to work out. So I'm taking a shot on Trey Quinn.
Well, that was the correct answer. So you did well. That answer got all the bells and ding, ding, ding. Like that was 100% correct. So good job. So speaking of Trey Quinn, how do you think that wide receiver depth chart is going to work out? I mean, you got guys like Josh Doctson, who is, you know, amazingly not that good. Then you have Trey Quinn, Kelvin Harmon. You have Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
Then you have there's another guy I'm forgetting, Paul Richardson, but there's another guy who isn't that good, but he was decent. Anyways, those are the top five, because if I can't remember his name, he must suck. How do you think it's going to turn out there?
Honestly, I'm more interested in the tight ends. I would rather have like a Jordan Reed or Vernon Davis over those guys, just because I think if you get Case Keenum, he's going to want to throw it to the tight ends because they're more reliable targets. And if you have if you have Haskins playing, then he's not going to have confidence in these guys because none of them have done anything. But you have Jordan Reed, who's matched up on linebackers. You have Vernon Davis, who's matched up on linebackers. So if I have to take a stab on a wide receiver, I'm going to go Terry McLaurin just because of the rapport with Dwayne Haskins as the kind of wide receiver one there. But I would rather have one of the two tight ends over those wide receivers.
Who do you think is the wide receiver one in this offense, Rob?
I think Terry McLaurin, actually. I think you hit it right on the head there, Michael. The rapport that they built in college is really going to help. Here on the second level, they're going to be more comfortable with each other. And I'm not confident in Jordan Reed and staying healthy for 16 games in any way, shape, or form. And Vernon Reed is definitely a good option over there. But I think I'd rather stash Terry McLaurin and hope he develops. Or if I have a first round, like my first rookie picks in the fourth round, I'll take a stab at him or Kelvin Harmon if they're still on the board. So I think both of them will play – their play style will do well for Dwayne Haskins and his pocket passing and being fresh in the league. The game is going to be really fast for him, or it usually is for rookie quarterbacks. So we'll see how quickly he can develop and how well both of those wide receivers do against NFL-level DBs.
So what I've been doing in the third round is, yes, taking Kelvin Harmon, but I usually own – a lot of third-round picks because I kind of I accumulate them. Like right now I'm trading for 2021 third-round picks. And I usually just have a boatload, you know, just it's my brigade coming in the back of me as I'm going through the sea on my own little canoe. I have a whole bunch of ships of third-round picks coming. Just picture it. Just envision that. What I do is I take a third round and I say, hey, you want one of these studs in the third round? Give me Chris Thompson. Huh? Huh? He could be their best receiver.
That's
everybody's
true.
Forgot yeah. about him. Yeah. Everybody forgot about him. You got Darius Geis coming up. You know, Godzilla coming out of the water. Darius Geis all healed up. Then you got Adrian Peterson, who's going to run for 2,000 yards, supposedly. And then you have Chris Thompson, who everybody forgot about. People are dropping him in my league. In my leagues, people are dropping him. I'm getting him for free, or I'm trading him for a third-round pick because – what running back are you going to get in the third round that's as good as that? At least for this year. This year he can be a very good asset for your team. So make that move, people. We're going on to more foggy wide receiver rooms because it's like you open the door and they left the showers on and it's all steamy and shit. You got to clear the air to try to see who's number one, who's number two, yada, yada, yada. We got San Francisco up first. I believe Debo is the best wide receiver on that team. What say you, Mr. Richter?
So I love Pettis and Debo. And actually, I really like Trent Taylor, if we're being honest. But I think for this year, it's got to be Dante Pettis. And gross. For some reasons that I outlined earlier, I think that it takes rookie wide receivers a little bit to adapt. And I think Debo's style isn't that separation route running finesse kind of guy, although he is a good wide receiver. But you have Dante Pettis, who has already shown he's an elite separator. And he's got a little bit of practice with Jimmy Garoppolo, as brief as it is. So he's got just a slight leg up. I really like both of them going forward. I can see it going either way beyond 2019. I can absolutely see why you would see Debo Samuel as the guy there. I don't necessarily have a preference for after 2019, though.
I really like Debo. I mean, I have going into the draft. I also like Trent Taylor, like you mentioned. I don't know if there could be a better situation than to have Wes Welker as your coach if you're Trent Taylor.
True.
I just want to point that out. So we're going to go to Tennessee because I don't want to speak too much on Mr. Taylor because I could go on for the whole episode about him. Tennessee Titans, man. What the hell is going on with that depth chart? You got my man Tajay Sharp, who's still around somehow. Then you got Adam Humphrey, who was overpaid and because he is not that good of a wide receiver. Then you have Taywan Taylor, who, like Trent Taylor, has my love and affection for various reasons. I mean, that dude is a baller, just straight up baller. Then you got my guy Corey Davis, who... he's not even my guy, man. I've lost all hope. But then you have really my guy who I had as my wide receiver one going into the draft, and he dropped down to my wide receiver five, Sir A.J. Brown. I call him A.J.B. You know, just that's my boy. But I don't know what to do with him. I don't know if I'm drafting him. I don't know if I'm trading for him. I don't know if I'm just staying away altogether. I don't know if he's going to be their wide receiver one. I don't know if he's going to be their wide receiver two. He's going to be one of those, though. So how do you think this wide receiver group, this foggy room of wide receivers, how do you think it'll clear up? How do you think it'll come to fruition and show face this year?
So I think it's going to be kind of gross this year, unless Marcus Mariota can seriously turn it around. I think it's all dependent on him. Here's the thing. If you put Corey Davis and A.J. Brown on with a different quarterback, those are two really good wide receivers. I don't think it has anything to do with them. I think Marcus Mariota just sucks. And so what I think I'm looking to do here is buy them mid-season when they're going to be underwhelming and their price is going to drop just a little bit. Because what I think is Marcus Mariota will not get extended. I believe he's at the end of his contract, if I'm not mistaken. And so you're looking at potentially a fresh start. And so give me Corey Davis and A.J. Brown at a discount mid-season. Definitely A.J. Brown at a discount mid-season. Corey Davis is pretty discounted as it is. So I think if I'm picking out how it's going to shake out this year, it'll be Corey Davis is the clear-cut wide receiver one there. A.J. Brown, kind of like the 1B, not necessarily a 2, but he's not going to ascend to like that number one role. And then the last three guys, I don't really care. Give me Delanie Walker. Give me Jonnu Smith over those last three guys. Just because Mariota likes throwing to tight ends in the red zone. So I think that's how it's going to shake out, and that's going to be my strategy with those guys because I think they have a ton of potential. They were two of my favorite wide receivers coming out in their draft classes.
Picture a world where Marcus Mariota becomes the Bengals quarterback and the Titans draft Tua Tagovailoa.
Give me Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, and I want nothing to do with Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Rams. We got my man, the myth, the legend, because he's only there half the season, Cooper Kupp. Robbie Woods, the phantom Brandon Cooks, who always outplays his ADP, hint, hint. Josh Reynolds, and the young man, JoJo Notson.
JoJo.
How is this depth chart playing out this year? Who is the wide receiver one there? My guy is Cooper Kupp, but he will not start this season healthy.
I actually was talking about this the other day. So I'm getting my doctorate in chiropractic right now. So I kind of have an injury specialist type viewpoint. And so Cooper Kupp probably won't be ready until late September. Like I'm talking 100% until late September, early October. If we're lucky, the average recovery time is right around 11 months. So end of September is right when he's going to hit that. So you're not going to have him. If he is there, he's not going to be 100% his first couple games. So I don't love him as the wide receiver one for the season overall. But what I really think you're looking at is a 1A, 1B, 1C, and it could shake out any given way. I think Robert Woods is going to end up being your most consistent throughout the entire year. I think Brandon Cooks is going to be your weak winner if you have him. And then I think Cooper Kupp's going to be just about the same as Robert Woods, if not a little bit better as the season gets going. So that's how I think it's going to shake out. I am going to take Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp because of their ADP and their price right now. I think they're decently cheap, but I like all three of them. I want all three of them on my team, if we're being honest.
But what about JoJo Notson?
JoJo, he can. I mean, if you're in a league that has a punt kick returner position, go for it. I think he's got a little bit of potential there. I'm taking Jakeem Grant if I'm getting a return specialist spot, but that's just me.
What team is he on?
He's on the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, interesting. I forgot about him.
Well, love me some Jakeem Grant.
So a Dolphins would be a good depth chart to talk about, but we're not because they're boring. And I don't know who's going to play quarterback for them. And I just only want Albert Wilson. That's the only person I want there.
I agree.
One guy that I want everywhere is Davante Adams. He's the clear-cut wide receiver one, top three locked in with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. We know it's Adams number one. But then behind him, it gets foggy. MVS, Geronimo, Kumaro, Jamon Moore, ESB, Equanimeous St. Brown, and my man, who I'm hoping makes the team, Darius Shepherd. Who, what, when, where, how does this shake up?
So, first of all, I have Davante Adams in one league and one league only, and I have been trying to sell him ever since I drafted him because it hurts. It literally hurts my soul. I spiritually, I feel terrible when someone on the Packers does really well and I get a lot of fantasy points. He led me to the championship game and had a really great season with that league, but I was like physically ill every week watching him put up points. So you're absolutely right with him. I just can't stand cheering for him in fantasy. It's bad. But as far as MVS and Geronimo and all the other guys, I think for me, I'm going to take Geronimo. But like we said earlier, they're all cheap enough where you can get them all. I mean, you could have four Packers wide receivers on your team and feel okay about it, because as soon as the season starts, you'll have a clear picture of which one you want to keep. I don't think Jake Kumaro is going to be super relevant. I would take Jamon Moore over him. I think that Moore had an off season last year, and he's got a little bit of potential there. I liked him in the pre-draft process, But you have Geronimo, you have MVS, and both of them have some good rapport there with that offense and with Aaron Rodgers. So I think you're good getting both of them. I think that's actually the correct move, is to get both of them back to back rounds. Because if you draft them in the 12th and 13th round, or you pay that kind of capital for them, and you're getting the wide receiver too with two late round picks. Would you have traded a 12th, if you were in a startup, would you have traded a 12th and a 13th round pick for a Jordy Nelson type guy in Jordy Nelson's prime? Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. And that's the kind of ceiling that you can potentially look at for MVS and Geronimo. So I think it doesn't matter how it shakes out, because you can get them both. If I had to put my money on someone, it's Geronimo.
How about Arizona? We got Christian Kirk, who we know is the guy, that he's just a boss, man. But you have so much talent in that wide receiver room with Andy Isabella coming in, who is just amazing. I mean, this dude, he's an athlete. Then you got Hakeem, who slid, Hakeem Butler. Then you got Larry Fitz, who is going to somehow put up 900 yards. We know what's happening. So then you have Keyshawn Johnson, who is just there. I don't think he's that relevant here. How do you see this wide receiver group this year and for the years to come?
So we just talked about this a little bit on our patron podcast that we do. But I want Christian Kirk, absolutely. But I don't know how it's going to shake out. It's so hard because we don't know what that offense is going to look like. It could be an incredibly inefficient offense. If they want to run and gun and they keep getting three and outs, it doesn't matter how much they want to do that. It's not going to be successful. It's not going to be fantasy productive. So I want Christian Kirk. Larry Fitz is probably a good bet there, because he's so nuanced and he's so smart and he demands the respect. The coaches are going to draw up plays for him to get the ball. So I think the order that you have to want him is, especially in Dynasty, is Kirk and then Fitz and then Isabella and Hakeem, right about the same. You got to take Isabella ahead of him because because of the draft capital. But it's such a confusing spot because of the coaching change. So we'll kind of see how Cliff Kingsbury's that whole run and gun type offense and just high volume passing offense works. I love Kyler Murray as a talent, but it's just so much for me to want to pay a mid first round pick for an Andy Isabella, which is where I see him going now. So I want Christian Kirk, I want Larry Fitz, and then the other guys, it really doesn't matter to me.
Rob, who do you like, Hakeem or Isabella?
I like Andy Isabella there. I like the big playability. Hakeem Butler, even if he gets a lot of usage early, is really just going to be a chain mover, maybe a red zone target. But I think Andy Isabella has a chance to kind of be that fly sweep, gadget, long ball kind of guy that can give you some big scores week to week. And he might be the one to develop as the wide receiver too, across from Christian Kirk, who I love. And if him and Kyler Murray can develop some rapport, I think him, Kirk, and Isabella could be a pretty nice trio, and another, either David Johnson or another running back to replace him.
Someone who we shouldn't forget about is Ricky Seals-Jones also. I think he can be a decent streamable option this year. And I think if all the wheels are turning in that offense, I know that Cliff Kingsbury really did like him coming out of high school when he was recruiting for Texas Tech. I think that Ricky Seals-Jones could be a potential top 15 guy that you get for free right now. So we're going to start dropping some more bombs right here. We're going to drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
And get a bunch of rapid fire questions from Michael Rischer. Are you ready? Well, if you aren't, it's coming. Most overrated rookie.
Miles Sanders.
Oh my gosh. Hold up. Pause.
I knew we were going to talk about him again.
Why? Why did you say he's overrated? This dude has, he's the sauce. He has it all.
So I think I'm going to do a little plug here because this is where I really kind of found out about who Miles Sanders is to me. On our website, www.ffastronauts.com, one of my co-hosts, Austin Brooks, he does this rookie running back review, and he goes in depth on Miles Sanders and how Miles Sanders is an incredible athlete, but he has a long way to go as far as actual running back ability goes. He goes down easily. Brooks goes as far as to say as he's not a good running back. He's incredibly athletic and he has a very high ceiling, but he's not a good running back yet. So I think that's why I'm pumping the brakes. I'm seeing him go as the 101 sometimes in non-superflex leagues for rookie drafts, and I just want to pump the brakes on him. You still have Jordan Howard there, who's been to the Pro Bowl. He's a multiple time 1,000-yard rusher, and you have a team that has a history of using multiple running backs. So Miles Sanders, while I think he's an excellent athlete, I don't think 2019 is his year. 2020 might be it, but he has some refining to do before I think he's worthy of that 101 pick.
He's my 101.
That's fair. You're not alone in that.
He's my 101. He has been since the draft. He was my – I think he was my top running back going into the draft. But I disagree with the whole Eagles coaching narrative thing because I don't think the Eagles have ever had a running back like this guy. I think he can do it all. I do think that it might end up like a Nick Chubb situation where we see Jordan Howard getting the bulk of the work up until about week 7 and then – all of a sudden, we see this train coming, and we're looking, and we can't see. We're looking, and oh, it's too late, and it's Miles Sanders running over the competition. And Jordan Howard gets shipped out for a 5th-round pick because they bought him for a 6th. They get more draft capital back. They trade Jordan Howard, and Miles Sanders takes the ball and just – choo. That's it. That's all that happens. So long, haters. That's what he says. And even though Tyreek Hill is out of the league by then, the little peace sign that he does while running, Miles Sanders takes that over and does that to the haters. Peace out, haters. Because Miles Sanders is the guy. I'm not going to take any more you're making me – I don't even know what to say right now. I want to scream.
Don't get me wrong. I still got him as a top 5 rookie pick. I think he's number 4 for me in rookie picks. But I think his hype is so high right now, and I'm like, you know, I just want to temper it a touch.
His hype is very high.
That's why I think he's overrated is because the hype is so high, and I like him, but I'm not as high. That's why I think that.
And I've done all of my rookie drafts, all the leagues that matter to me, except 2, I've done my rookie drafts in. And I love him so much, I guess because even now I love him more than I did before this because I would trade for the 102 because everybody wants Josh Jacobs, and so be it. So the 102 would be cheaper. I'd trade for it, and then I would trade back to the 104 and accumulated another pick with the 104 for the 102. Then I would trade back again for the 106. Then I would trade all the way to the 108 in some leagues and end up getting Miles Sanders at 108.
Wow.
Because everybody said, okay, let's go Josh Jacobs. Let's go David Montgomery. And I play in Superflex League. So Haskins and Murray would go in top 4. Then it would be Nikhil. And then there's some savvy people who are investing in A.J. Brown for the future there. And then people would take a guy like DK or a guy like what's the fella's name? We talked about him, San Francisco guy, Debo. They take him before they take Miles Sanders. I'm like, dude, give me a starting running back, because if this dude starts, his value is going to shoot up in year one. And I like value in my rookie drafts. I just go for who can give me the most value in year one. So no more heartbreaks.
All right.
None of that. Going back to rapid fire, turning on the Jets. Who is the most overrated quarterback?
Jared Goff.
I can deal with that. As long as you're not saying the myth, the man, the legend, the GOAT, and Lamar Jackson, we're good.
I love Lamar.
Who's the most underrated quarterback?
Sammy Darnold.
Most overrated running back?
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. Oof. Most underrated running back?
Kenyon Drake.
Most overrated top 10 wide receiver, and I know where you're going with
this. Oh, you know where I'm going. Mike Evans.
Yeah, we need to insert a boo sound effect here, Rob. Boo, Mike Evans sucks. Boo. Most underrated top 10 wide receiver.
Adam Thielen.
Best bet for a breakout.
Curtis Samuel.
With DJ Moore there, huh?
Just wait for my next one.
Oh, shut up. Best bet for a bust.
DJ Moore.
God, that almost hurt me just as much as Miles Sanders.
I'm sorry.
Best second year wide receiver, DJ Moore.
Anthony Miller.
So pause. I don't really do this, but I just somebody asked, and I'm going to bring this up because this was within the past few minutes. Someone sent me a message and said, so I got this proposal. What do I do? They trade away Derrick Henry and Latavius Murray, and they get two 2020 firsts. He has three 2020 firsts already and two 2020 seconds already. His team is Cam Newton, James Conner, Derrick Henry, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, Juju, Nick Chubb, DJ Goatmore, Zach Ertz, Jalen Samuels, Kareem Hunt, and a bunch of other people on his bench. Christian Kirk, if you want to name, Traquan Smith. Should he trade Derrick Henry and Latavius Murray for two 2020 firsts?
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, if he does that, then he's saying, eh, screw this season, you know, and I'm never going to do that. So I would say no. I think the value might be there, and like it wouldn't necessarily, if you like plug that into a trade calculator, that'd probably like pop out that it's a fair trade. But if you want to be competitive every year, and that's not the move to become competitive. That's the anti become competitive move.
All right, Mr. Dustball, you just got your answer. Back to the show. Dropping those hot fire right now. Leonard Fournette or Darius Geis?
Darius Geis.
Of course, because we know what?
Oh, yeah.
Fournette is not that good. What do you think about Fournette, Rob?
I'll take him if he falls into like the fifth round of a startup draft and it's insane value. But if I take him, I have to have Reichwell Armstead to handcuff with him because I think he takes over that job as early as midway through the season, especially if Fournette gets injured, and that history is pretty storied. Darius Geis is just not established in the NFL. He got hurt on his first play from scrimmage in preseason. That's not necessarily a good look for me. He got tackled once and got hurt.
Darius Geis is the ultimate conundrum right now because you could buy him for cheap right now and get potentially a top five guy with his upside.
It's true. Absolutely. You're getting Ezekiel Elliott type talent. That's kind of his upside there. Is Zeke, maybe not with that offense necessarily, but like that's the kind of guy you're looking at. And then, please, if you guys could call him Leonard Threenet until he plays a healthy season.
Leonard, man, that dude, poor guy.
Leonard Twonet.
But then you have Darius Geis' floor, which is like a Leonard Fournette with a bad team.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing with Darius Geis. I'm probably going to think about it more. But It's a conundrum, man. It's I don't know. Each day I switch on it. I switch on it each day. Some days I buy them. Some days I sell them. One league I bought them and sold them in the same 2 weeks. It was a weird It was a weird little deal. Like I sold him and then I was like, shit, I think I want him. So then I like started talking to the dude again and I was like, dude, like you made a mistake buying this dude from me. I'm so happy you got him. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then he was, like, feeling all bad. I was like, look, I'll buy him from you back, and I'll just give you, like, I think I sold him for a 2021st. I think I ended up giving a 2022nd and a 2023rd for guys.
Wow. That's not bad at all.
So I kind of, yeah, I ended up with an extra 2021st, but I'm giving away all my secrets right now. Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, or Aaron Rodgers?
Give me Patty Mahomes.
He's my top sell.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see that, but I would still take him.
Dexter Williams or Jamal Williams?
Dexter.
Dexter could be the best running back in that backfield. That's crazy. And he's going in the third round, mid-third round. It's insane. Ertz, Kelsey, or Kittle? List them in the order you're going to take them.
So I'll go Kittle, Kelsey, Ertz.
Kittle number one.
Yeah, I just like the youth, and I don't like the other two with their injury histories. So,
but the unsustainable yak.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna get a better targets, and he's still a freak athlete matched up on subpar athletes in the linebackers. So his yak will always be high. It just might not be as high.
So who's the next great tight end then? Because we saw Kittle break out. We saw Kelsey break out the same year that Eifert broke out, kind of. So who is the next breakout tight end, the next great tight end? It has to be O.J. Howard, right?
You can go O.J. Howard, definitely. There's a guy that I want for Dynasty. There's a guy that I want more than O.J. You got to wait a year, so, I mean, you gotta maybe get a different tight end to handcuff him with, but I want TJ Gronkinson, the next great, if we're talking truly great tight ends, it's got to be TJ Hockenson.
So, you know, the initials is TJH and OJH, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that is nice.
Spells greatness if you put it all together. One guy that like everybody's forgetting about though, and I don't understand, and I wasn't going to bring him up because I'm buying him. I'm in the process of buying him, so I'm going to have to speed that up before I publish this show, is Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Everybody's forgetting about him. And I don't think Antonio Gates is alive anymore.
I hope he is.
I mean, yeah, but...
No, I know.
He's in a wheelchair, basically. So
probably.
Hunter Henry, man. Like, this dude was on a great trajectory whenever he was in his rookie season. He was showing out, and he was splitting time with a younger Gates who was competent when playing football. I mean, is it crazy to think he could finish top five this year?
No, it's not crazy. I don't think it's necessarily likely. I don't think that it's necessarily like a lock or anything, but it's definitely within his range of outcomes.
So who is a player who may be on the roster bubble for training camp? One that's going to like surprise everybody and everybody's going to go, ooh, ah.
This is a tough one for me because it's really so hard to kind of project that. You can't see into the minds of the coaches. You don't get like that look at what the coaches are really seeing in their OTAs and stuff. But I'm going to go, if I got to pick one, it's going to be Dante Moncrief for me. I think that he's a guy that hasn't been able to stick anywhere. I don't think his work ethic's great, And if you're playing with Big Ben and you have some baggage, I think your odds of lasting are slimmer. So I'm gonna say Dante Moncrief is definitely a guy that could be on the roster bubble for training camp.
Ted Ginn Jr.
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
Will's up for Traquan. Yeah.
And Keith Kirkwood.
Oh, Keith, man. I don't know about all that.
Me either.
Rob, I want you to surprise me right now. I want you to tell me one guy that will not be on the same roster come week two.
I hate to say it, but Kenneth Dixon right now in Baltimore is making a lot of the wrong kind of news you want to hear in the media. There's been issues with him being able to stay healthy, him getting suspended for performance enhancing, and then substance abuse, and a lot of talent just came into that running back room. He's kind of been left out of all the major conversations. And as much as I love him, I think he might be a good trade candidate. So
for the Buccaneers.
Yes, I would love to see him down there with Bruce Anderson. Him and Bruce Anderson can split that backfield up, say goodbye to Peyton Barber and bust Rojo, and those two can run that backfield like a thunder and lightning combination should.
Dude, we almost went a whole show with not talking about how amazing Justice Hill is.
Can't do it, though. He is amazing.
Great. I mean, let's be real. Justice Hill could be the best running back from this class.
This is true, especially in that offense. I mean, he landed in the perfect spot for him.
Dude, you have a GOAT quarterback, and then you have an amazing run game. What more can you ask for?
Talk about how fast that backfield is. Come on. God,
dude, triple option with Mark Ingram. No, scratch that. Quadruple option with Lamar Jackson, Justice Hill, Mark Ingram, with a little jet sweep coming from Marquise Brown. What?
Oh, Hollywood.
That could be the best college offense ever made.
Oh, my gosh. No, for real, imagine if some of those guys were on the same college team. They'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, if they were like the Navy and all they would run is the triple option, that would be amazing. That's
all you need. Give them like Emmanuel Hall there for a deep threat, stretch the field kind of guy.
I mean, they have cheap DK. They have Miles Boykin.
Yeah.
This dude, Miles Boykin, I want so many pieces of that offense, but it all comes back to my take on Lamar being amazing. You know, he has to actually take a step forward in the passing game this year and show everybody how amazing he really is. And that way my shares are going to pay off because I have so much Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, Ravens running backs, Lamar Jackson. I think I'm like 90% exposed to Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm talking super flex, one quarterback leagues. In a lot of one quarterback leagues, I'm riding or dying with Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold. I've traded away everybody. And it's Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson. So I am 100% behind this Ravens team. This is the team that I think I'm going to be paying the closest attention to this year. I think I'm going to be playing the most on daily fantasy of Ravens. It's going to be a bunch of Ravens. That's what I think I'm going to have on all my little lineups. So I want to know, this is the little parting shot segment we always do. There's a lot of camp talk right now that worries all fantasy players yearly. What situation do you advise players to not pay attention to at all?
I think anything, first of all, anything coming out of Miami, don't believe a single word that anything coming out of Miami says, but that's kind of a given. I think that you can't really listen too much into the Pittsburgh offense as far as the wide receivers go. Just because they're going to try and say everybody, all the wide receivers are going to be good. And so you're not going to have any idea which of the three wide receivers they like. Same goes with the running backs. They're going to say, oh, James Conner's great. Oh, Benny Snell's great. Jalen Samuel's great. So they're going to, I think that coming out of Pittsburgh, you can't really listen to the hype that much. You have to take your shot and go with what it's been in the past. You're going to have to say, all right, they've been a bell cow back in the past. We got to go with James Conner here and handcuff, obviously, with those two guys. But listening to the camp, they're just going to say, oh, yeah, all three of these guys are going to play a ton. And that historically goes against everything they've ever done. With the wide receivers, they're going to say, oh, yeah, James Washington is great. Spoiler alert, James Washington sucks. They're going to say Deontay Johnson's great. They're going to say Dante Moncrief's great. They're going to say Eli Rogers is great. So, like, the news coming out of the camp, I'm not like listening a ton into Pittsburgh.
One thing that I advise people to pay attention to is DK. Don't look at the DK can't run whatever and all that. Yeah, that's great. You know, he's slow when turning and all that, but I think that this guy can perform well. I think he can be a good wide receiver too for a team at least. So take advantage of the bad press and get him while he's cheap. Because all that I can see is his value going up, or he'll become the next Devontae Parker, where there's always going to be somebody believing in him. So I love, 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 love Michael's take on the Pittsburgh news, because Benny Snell sucks. But everything else is a lot of news that people are like, oh, this is brand new news, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So I want to know who's your smart theft. With all that being said, all that was said on the show, and it can't be Darwin Thompson or Anthony Miller. It's got to be a new guy. This is basically a player who's a good buy right now. He's someone you could get for cheap with huge upside and potential that you are willing to take a shot on.
So we're gonna go away from all the guys that we talked about. This is a guy that we haven't talked about at all, though we've alluded to we've talked about his quarterback quite a bit, and that's Jamison Crowder. I think Jamison Crowder has really, really good upside, and I'm willing to take a shot on him because Sam Darnold has a history of liking his slot wide receivers. I think Jamison Crowder's well above average slot wide receiver. I mean, he's probably top 10 in the NFL as far as slot wide receivers go, and he's got a quarterback that loves throwing the ball to the slot. So I think his yak ability, I think his separation ability, and I think his quarterback is going to lend him huge upside there. He's easily got top 10 or top 15, not top 10, top 15 potential.
What's your boldest predicted for 2019?
This was a tough one for me. Boldest prediction for 2019 is Duke Johnson is traded to Tampa Bay midseason, and Duke Johnson is a league winner, averaging over 20 fantasy points per game in Tampa Bay.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Damn.
That was in detail, man. I wasn't ready for it. Okay. Well, if that happens, you heard it here first. Who's the hype monster you are buying right now?
You know, his hype's getting a little out of control, but I'm going to buy Josh Jacobs. I think he's good. I think his volume's going to be there. And so I'm buying Josh Jacobs. If I'm buying a rookie running back, I think Josh Jacobs is a really, really good bet. So I'm buying the Josh Jacobs hype monster.
Who is the hype monster you are selling right now?
Oh, Rashad Penny. I am selling Rashad. First of all, I don't own Rashad Penny anywhere, but if I owned him, I would be selling like crazy. Sell. I don't think he's a talented running back. I watched every single snap from 2018 or every single touch from 2018 rather. And I don't think he was that good. I watched Chris Carson, who's not elite by any means, but he's significantly better than Rashad Penny. I think Rashad Penny's hype is getting a little bit high, and I will gladly sell Rashad Penny.
So we're selling Rashad Penny. We're buying Josh Jacobs. Jameson Crowder is somebody who you should go get while you can get him. Smart buy right there, smart theft. Duke Johnson is a league winner because he's getting traded to Tampa Bay, and he will average about 20 points in PPR per week. Thank you, Michael Rischer, FF_Rish on Twitter. Donate to the show's Patreon to fund more content and ways to better the show as a whole. It only takes $1 or $2 to help. You don't need that pack of gum today. You should help me out. Patreon.com/DynastyWire, no spaces. Follow us on Twitter at TheDraftGenius, all one word, at eSorber1, which is Rob Rose spelled backwards with a number one after, and at FF_Rish. Mr. Rischer, you have survived the show. I mean, yeah. I wanted to go take a plane out to fly to Chicago and meet you a few times because of some things you have said, but I got over it. I got over it. I bought my ticket, then I said, no, I'm over it, and I, you know, got a refund during the show. I did all that.
Wow. Because, man, you were productive.
Yeah, you made me pretty mad. But it is what it is, man. You survived, and you earned this. This is your shining moment, man. You can say whatever you want here. Talk about whatever you want. You ate really good food tonight. You could talk about it right here. You don't like brisket and baked beans like Rob does. You could just say, dude, that's gross, and you should get a new food habit, something, man. You can say whatever you want here.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's been a ton of fun. Yeah, I mean, just go check out our podcast as well, the Fantasy Football Astronauts. We're everywhere you listen to podcasts. We release every Monday. We just like to have a good time. Check out our website, www.ffastronauts.com. Also, shout out to my fiance. She was a little upset because I didn't talk to her on the phone tonight, but I love you, Kristen. We're getting married actually the first weekend of the NFL season this year, September 7th. So the 8th is the first Sunday night, sort of Sunday football games. So that'll be a fun wedding weekend.
Congrats. Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Appreciate it. Appreciate
it. That was awesome. Sorry, Kristen. Sorry. I hope you listen to the show. Subscribe and follow us on Twitter and stuff. Man, it's been great having you on. I really do appreciate it. I think you should put your website in your on your Twitter because I didn't see that.
Is that not on there?
I didn't see it. So I'm blind or it's not on there. It's one of the other. I could be blind, though. That is a possibility because usually I try to blind out the haters, and I knew you didn't like Miles Sanders and you were a Bears fan, and I brought up Davante Adams just out of spite. So that could be one of the reasons. But anyway, man, I really do appreciate you. I loved it. Great to have you on the show. We have more guests to come. Maybe we'll do a quadruple show where we get your homeboy Galileo or whatever his name
is. Jetpack Galileo. Oh, yeah. He's our stats guy.
I'm not a fan of him right now, man. He's talking shit on the Dominator. That's
he's out there and he loves stats and he's just trying to improve everything. He likes stirring stuff up with statistics.
That's
stuff.
What he's doing. He's stirring it up.
Yeah,
he's
starting. He is.
Whenever I comment on something, it usually takes a lot for me to comment on something. And he is, I've had to type a tweet and erase it a few times lately because that the Dominator stuff he's doing is just, it's driving me nuts. I like the Dominator rating. I don't want anybody to talk bad on it. This is nice stuff.
You should definitely go, fight him on Twitter. He's super fun to argue back and forth with. He's actually the best man in my wedding. I love Jetpack. He's so funny on Twitter, man, because it's hard to pick up his sarcasm and his jokes. And so sometimes people get a little bit more upset than I think he intended for them to.
Yeah, I might have to call him on and fuss at him. That might be in the future in the crystal ball. We'll see. Big plans.
Yeah.
Rob, man, thanks for being the wingman, the seltzer to my water, the sidekick, the peanut butter to my jelly on this show, man.
I can be your Huckleberry, man.
Appreciate it, man. As always, great co-host, Rob Rose, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
One more question, and everybody gets it. This is no special treatment, so don't think you're special because I'm still mad at you. What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, yeah. Favorite dessert. Have you ever been to Chicago?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, in Chicago, we have this place called Portillo's. And Portillo's is a place where you go get a hot dog, you go get an Italian beef. Like, it's just kind of a nicer fast food place. You get a little stuff that's not typical. But they have this eclair cake that is to die for. So Portillo's eclair cake, if you're ever in Chicago, you have to try it.
Portillo's. Interesting. Eclair cake from Portillo's. Okay. Put it in my notes. We'll see.
Eclair cake. Add an E on the front of that.
Oh, I forget you're watching. Okay, man. So now I know your favorite dessert. It's kind of like we're bonded for life, you know?
Absolutely.
That's kind of how it goes. So thank you again, Michael. We always got to end it on something non-football related because we forget sometimes there's better things to enjoy in this real world like desserts.
That's so true.
Check out ffastronauts.com. Follow Michael Rischer on Twitter at @ff_Rish. Ladies and gentlemen, this is season two. This is like uncut stuff. Like, I'm not holding back anymore. I can't deal with, I have to be a savage. I just have to. I have to be mean. I have to be a savage. It's in my nature. I have to call out the frauds who try to buy a player and sell them to me on purpose because you look like a doofus. You look like Jared Goof. See y'all next time. Paris Campbell, wide receiver 1. Sam Darnold, top 3 quarterback this year. Peace.